Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 2782.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
All right, I would say that nobody probably affected me more than my father, just because, I mean, obviously as a young boy, that's the most significant influence. And, you know, in good and bad ways, but I mean, he was, I think the things that I most think of when I think of him is that he's a perfectionist, and he, he had a love of knowledge. He was a professor, and he always wanted to learn, and so I think that's what I took away too, was just like always learning and growing. And other than that, unafraid to be different. He was definitely a unique person, and is a unique person. And so he just, you know, if he saw things differently than everybody else, then he was fine with that. And that was something that I think influenced me.
What do you aspire to be?
Some sort of, I guess, intellectual. I mean, I guess, like, people talk about public intellectuals. And I guess that's sort of, like, a think tank would be interesting for me. Maybe working, I mean, I want to work at the State Department. That's sort of my goal right now, actually, working on that right now, doing the Foreign Service exam. And I would like to work my way up, maybe through the Foreign Service, be a diplomat. But eventually, you know, being a politician or being somebody who works in media as a journalist or a political blogger.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
I would say that I am a clever person. I think that I'm fairly intelligent, quick-witted, thoughtful. I tend to try to understand everybody and understand situations, and I spend probably a little bit more time trying to figure the puzzle of those things out than most people, and kind. I think I'm a fairly nice person. I try to take care of people, help people that need help, and that's sort of, I guess, a basic personality.
What makes you smile?
I'd have to say my daughter. I think she's hilarious. She's 4 now, and she's so clever. I mean, it's just funny to watch her, like, think about the world and try to understand it. And sometimes she's actually right, and it's amazing. And I think it makes me smile. Sometimes she's wrong, which is even funnier. She thinks she has it all figured out. And I don't know. Like, I always have a soft spot for animals, dogs and cats especially. Like, if I see somebody walking their dog or see a cat, I'd almost invariably try to stop and pet it and play with it. So.
What types of things make you happy?
Animals, like I said, nature. I love being outside in nature. I grew up out in the country, and I used to just run around the woods all the time. And now, you know, I live in the city, but whenever I get a chance, I'll go out, you know, try to get up to the mountains, go hiking, something like that.
What types of things make you sad?
Well, I guess I get very passionate about things that affect the environment. That's something that bothers me. So pollution, people littering, just, you know, things like that. Like, it's people being thoughtless, I guess, is one of the things that bothers me. I just don't understand why people wouldn't care about what they're doing or how they're affecting other people.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, I guess the thing I think about that is that I grew up with kind of a weird religion, like sort of a different, had a very different perspective on things. And so I sort of always had like this, I mean, I went to public school and everything else like that, but I always felt like I was sort of an outsider. And I think that's always stuck with me. I just have this sort of outsider view of, like, trying to see things from a different angle than everybody else. And I think that makes me more thoughtful, and I think that it helps me understand the situation differently than people who are maybe deeply enmeshed in it. So I try to be more objective, I think, than most people.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
My judgment is very good. I think that between being, you know, a fairly smart and fairly well-educated person and having that sort of outsider's perspective, outsider's view, I mean, a lot of my friends come to me, ask me if, you know, if they have problems, if they have questions, if something's bothering them. I tend to be someone that they come to to listen and then to, like, and to see what my judgment is, see what I have to say about it, see if my perspective gives them something that they didn't have.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
Generosity, I think, is something that I really admire in someone. People who can see beyond themselves and give to other people. It's easy to be selfish and just do whatever works for you, and people who don't do that, people who take an extra step and do something for other people, that's something that I really admire. Intelligence, I think that's something that, you know, it's... There's the gift of intelligence, and there's people who build their intelligence. And either way, I think that being able to intelligently deal with the world is something that's really important to me and other people. And being open-minded, I think coming from a sort of a different background, I think that people who have an open mind about things and aren't just rigidly locked into what they've been doing their whole life, I think that's really interesting and a good quality.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and which do you like least?
I would say that, I said clever several times, but I'll stick with that. I think that both in terms of like understanding things, like figuring out problems. I was helping out a friend this weekend who was like buying a house, and they were doing a house inspection, and no one could figure out how to turn on the jacuzzi tub. And even the home inspector was like, "Oh, it's broken," and I was like, "No, I don't think it's broken." And I was looking at the wiring, and I'm pretty sure you're just not seeing the switch. And I looked for a little bit longer, and I found the switch, and it was fine, and it worked. And but also like being clever in terms of being funny, like trying to see things differently and find a way to make people laugh. I think that's probably something that I really like about myself. As far as something that I don't like, I grew up fairly passionate and a little bit hot-headed and a bit of a temper. And for a long time, I was like, okay, well, it's not good, but I didn't think it was a big deal. And then when my daughter came, and there's obviously a lot of stress, and that makes it harder. And then I realized that it really is, it is a big deal. Like I thought back to when I was little and my dad had a temper, and I saw that this wasn't something that was good for me. And also when I see her having the same thing, I would say a genetic component, and I see her having a temper, and I realize I need to be able to control that and just be calm and relaxed, and then I'll help her deal with it so that she doesn't have to go through as long a learning curve as I did.
What kinds of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
Definitely hard work. My dad was definitely a hard worker, and my mom was a very hard worker. My mom was raising four of us, and she did everything at home. She was like, there was nothing that, she was cutting our hair and fixing our clothes, making clothes. She was, she did everything, cooking and cleaning. And I think I took it for granted, most of my life. And I was like, whatever, it's just what, just what she does. And then later, move out on your own, you realize it's a lot of work. And, my dad was definitely a very hard worker, very dedicated to his job. He went back to school to get his PhD because he wanted to teach. And that's another thing, I guess, is like love for learning, love for knowledge. And that was something my dad definitely exemplified. And being open-minded, that was something that my parents definitely had a, even though I don't share their same beliefs now, they always said, you'll make your own mind, and you'll think for yourself, and then you'll decide what you believe. And so it was nice to, have that, not just obviously you have the option to think for yourself, but to have your parents say it's okay, and we want you to, so.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
Outdoors. I love going to the park. My daughter loves going to a music park. She loves to go and ride the rides, so I take her there. But also just going for a hike or going to the beach, things like that are really great. Going to movies, I think it's always fun to find a movie that everybody sort of enjoys and then go and talk about that. And I like to go out to dinner. I love just a nice, relaxed dinner somewhere and good food.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
I think that for some holiday, I don't remember, I think I was 5 or 6, I got my first pocket knife. My dad, I'd been wanting one, and my dad, I'm sure I was lobbying for it, and then got it, and it was a surprise. I didn't know they were going to get it for me, and I got it, and my dad sat me down and gave me a lecture about it's very sharp, be careful, I'm sure I cut myself. I know I cut myself several times very quickly, but I felt mature. I felt like I was grown up. At 5, but and I thought I had this tool. I could work with the world now. My dad had a lot of, he's an engineer and he had lots of tools. He was always working on things, and I was I want to work on things. I felt like I graduated in some way at some point. So that was really special.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I was definitely a nature child. So we lived out in the country. We had 15 acres, and we just would run around out in the woods. I think I actually did run around barefoot most of the time, and I'm sure it was awfully filthy. Feel bad for my mom, but we lived in the country, and I loved up playing outdoors. I played a few sports, but we lived far enough out there that there weren't a lot of people around, so I think I played some baseball, and I read a lot. We didn't have a TV, so I just would always have a book. We would go to the library once a week. I would get 20 books, and I would just read through them.
What is your favorite book? What types of books do you enjoy? Do you have a favorite literary character?
So I think my favorite book of all time would be For Whom the Bell Tolls by Hemingway. And, I guess, as far as, favorite types of books or favorite, I, the, I mean, I like books like Hemingway, Jack London. Right? I like some of his, a lot of his actually like sort of novels about people facing really intense challenges. Something, and not always. I mean, a lot of Hemingway, you know, in Jack, you know, Jack London's novels. There's a lot of struggle, and at the end, usually people win. In Hemingway, there's a lot of struggle, and a lot of times people lose. And I think, I don't know, like, I see value in both of them. Like, I think that when I was younger, I hated, like, the books where people lost. I was really frustrated by that. And I was like, no, I don't want to lose. But you, after a while, you realize, like, you can't win everything, and it's good to read about something and see someone struggle and lose, and sort of, you can learn a lot from that. So, and his favorite character, actually, like, sort of literary character would be Victor Laszlo, who was, you know, in Casablanca, he was, like, he was the guy who cared and didn't, like, just give up and mope. And I thought Rick was kind of lame. Like, I mean, I think looking back, I think that was because of when I was young and I was sort of, you know, was super idealistic and stuff. And now it's like, you know, well, sometimes you do get frustrated and sometimes you do, you know, just like the novel, like just like Hemingway, you don't always win and sometimes it's tough to handle. But I thought he was interesting and I loved the idea of, you know, this person who was a journalist and then when they saw something they just couldn't take, they became an activist and they went out and tried to fix things. So,
what is your favorite word and why?
I love truth. I love the word. I think it sounds. I just say it's a nice round sound. But beyond that, like it's sort of it embodies like one of the most important things you could possibly acquire, and it's so elusive because it's always, you know, there's always, it's like things are so always subjective and relative, and but the idea of truth, the pursuit of truth, I think is something that's really special. So I think that would probably be probably my favorite.
What was the last book you read? Who was your favorite character?
I would be embarrassed to say how long it's been since I read like an actual like novel, just because I've been doing school for a while, and I don't even know how long it's been. If it counts, like I recently read the autobiography of Steve Jobs because, I'm sort of anti-Apple, but after he died, and I heard some of the some people talking about him and his life, and I was really intrigued because I thought like some of the things that I heard being described about his life and his personality and sort of the conflicts and in his life and the sort of the dichotomy of this person who was brilliant and yet had like this, you know, struggled with the traditional educational system and just some of things like that. I thought that was really interesting. I kind of identified with that, and so I figured I should probably like make some time on my schedule and read that. And I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was really interesting seeing how he dealt with the world and some of the demons he struggled with, because he wasn't, you know, wasn't the world's fuzziest guy, but he did some amazing things and sort of toss up there like, sorry, how do you understand that person? So,
what was the last movie you saw? Did you like it?
I went to see Act of Valor with my friend just recently, and I really did like it. I thought I was sort of not into it, but my friend was really into it. He was super gung ho for it, and I mean the acting was not very good. I mean it's like a bunch of Navy SEALs trying to act like they're not that polished. They're about as smooth as I am on tape apparently. So, but the action was amazing. I mean, it was, you know, it's live action. Like, everything's real. It's not special effects. It's just they actually do stuff. So that was kind of cool. Like, it made it seem cooler, even though, you know, I'm sure if they had done special effects, maybe I wouldn't have known. But it was just cool knowing that they really were, like, actually shooting things or whatever. So, and, you know, the story was good. Like, I was surprised, especially at the end. Like, the story was really sad. It's one of those things, if I was younger, I would have been pissed because it doesn't have, like, per se, a happy ending. But it's really, I was really surprised that the story, might have actually made me cry just a little bit.
What type of sports do you like to watch?
So I watch football. A lot of times I just have it on in the background. I've never lived near a place that had an actual team except for now, and this team is not very good. Like when I was in college, I would go see like our games, but like now I don't really watch much college stuff just because it's not, you know, I watch professional sports mostly. But so football is fun to watch. It's just like it's a nice, I don't know, it may just be like habit by now, but I really love basketball, so I watch basketball too, but usually, near the end of the season when it gets more dramatic.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
So I play a lot of basketball. When I was in college, in my undergraduate, I was convinced that I couldn't actually ever leave school because I could play basketball every day, and it was like the best thing that ever happened to me. There were times when I was actually thinking to myself, like, what am I going to do with my career? Because I need to make sure I can play basketball a lot. And, that's what you do when you're 21 and you think that your priorities are straightened out. But, I read a lot still, mostly news now. I read a lot of news, in magazines and journals, blogs online. I like to fix things. Like I, you know, my dad being an engineer, I just like I worked. He worked with his hands a lot, did a lot of things, and I picked up some of those. Not as much as you know. I wish like now. I wish I would have paid attention to more when I was little. But yeah, just like any sort of do-it-yourself, work with your hands. You know, carpentry, or if, you know, if I find something broken, I don't care if it would be way easier to just replace it. I will almost invariably be like, I can take this apart and fix it.
Are you a creative person? If so, how do you express your creativity?
You know, I don't know, like, that's sort of funny because, like, when I was younger, I was actually pretty good at art. My mom's she sings and she does calligraphy. She makes all of her own cards. Like, she has, like, a, you know, she has somebody a card, like a thank you card or you know, a holiday card or whatever. She does these drawings, like, you know, she uses mostly charcoal, I think, but sometimes she does watercolors, like, really, you know, I always love, like, I get these, like, cards from her, like, she's the only person I know that makes handmade cards. Really sweet. But, you know, like at some point, like my dad being an engineer, and I think that I sort of like lost track of the whole art thing because I remember like in fifth or sixth grade, I remember like my art teacher really thought I did well at something, and she took me along to some course. Like they had like a special like, oh, you want at least a special opportunity? And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then like, and we learned how to paint roses, and that was the last thing that I remember ever doing with the arts. And I played the trumpet for a while, but I didn't enjoy it very much. Plus, I got braces in it. I really couldn't play the trumpet anymore. So. But you know, to me, basketball can be great, you know, very graceful. Like it depends on some people play differently, but I'm definitely someone who plays sort of a fast, and it's sort of like, it's a lot like dancing. Like you have to have great footwork and to move and do some of the things. And so to me, I think there's like some grace to it. But other than that, I used to write poems like for a while. Like that was also when I was, you know, like early 20s, and I haven't done that for a long time, but I used to like really doing that. And yeah, other than that, like I don't have a lot of time for it now, so maybe like once I have more time when I'm done with school, then I'll try to maybe,
yeah. Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
The two that I've gotten, Jude Law and Daniel Craig is the other one. See that? Yeah, I don't know. Like it was funny. Like those people told me those, and I was like, well, that's fine. I mean, especially like Daniel Craig because he's 007, and you can't say no to being James Bond.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced and its impact on you.
I was a philosophy major at the time, which was really like I was really looking at things from a very, very different angle, and it was. And I sort of was like, what do I really value? And I decided that I didn't want to just, you know, pick up whatever, how many ever credits to graduate. And I left school and I worked as a truck driver. It was something I could do. Like I'd always wanted to just drive. I love just rambling and just getting out. Like I want to be a gypsy sometimes, something like that. But so I figured I'd get to see the States. It was a short training program. That was another good thing. So I just I bailed on school and I took off and did a year as a truck driver, and I saw so much, and I had time to think. Like just, I had a whole bunch of books with me, and I would drive all day, park at night, and then just sit in my cabin, read for a while. And during the day, I'd be driving, and I'd just like think about like what is it that's bothering me? What do I care about? What do I not like about things? Or what do I? And it really cleared my head, and I came back and I finished school, and it was really great. But at the time, like it was like. When you just, your whole life, I mean, my dad's a professor, your whole life, you're like, okay, I'm going to go to high school and I'm going to go to college. And so just leaving that and not even knowing what I was going to do was really, you know, I wouldn't say traumatic, but it was difficult. It was something I was sort of scared of, and I'm really happy that I did it now.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, who you would like to interview and explain why.
I guess, you know, there's so much information about people, and I guess it's hard for me to find somebody that stands out above anybody else. And oddly enough, I think that if I was going to pick someone, it'd be like someone who did something bad, just because I would want to understand like how someone makes a decision to do something really awful. Because people who do great things, I think it's fairly easy to understand their motivation, and it would be good to like talk to them to like get some insights that maybe aren't on you know, Wikipedia or whatever. But I don't know. I don't, you know, Genghis Khan or Adolf Hitler, maybe just to say that, you know. What takes someone and makes them do something really awful and really damage the world, and why would, you know, what, how do you stop that? How do you understand that?
First experiences can be defining. Cite a first experience that you have had and explain its impact on you.
My daughter was born, she was born by C-section, and I wasn't actually allowed in. It was sort of emergency C-section. So I had to stand outside, and they actually had covered the windows. And there was like this small hole I could peek through, and I was just watching. And then once she was out, they set her aside and basically just set her on like a warming table, and they, they're busy sewing up her mom. And then they brought me in, like, okay, and they said, okay, you can go see her. And I had no idea. Like, I'd never been like a baby child person, like, growing up. I didn't really ever have like any sort of real interest in kids per se. Like, I was just mostly like, I was terrified. I mean, like, she was so little, and it was just like the situation was scary. And I walked over and I just looked at her, and then one of the nurses was like, you can pick her up. And I was like, and she was like, you should pick her up. And I was like, oh, that's what I, and then I picked her up, and it was just like this, that was like this, such a transformative moment of like being so scared of and then sort of bonding with her, and like having the sense that like she needs me, like she more like just because of that situation, like more than like she really seemed like she needed me, like she was alone, everybody in the room was over and working at the table, and so it was just me and her, and I think that was like the moment when I really felt like I had this connection with a baby. And ever since then, like, I suddenly see kids differently. Like, now, like, I see people with kids and I think the kids are cute and they make me laugh or whatever. But that was the thing that changed me. I think just seeing her there, seeing her helpless, and then holding her, and just feeling connected to her. And like I actually had a connection with this child. So,
of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
I would love to just be traveling. I think I would love to go to somewhere. I mean, go to Europe or the Middle East, somewhere just with ancient history, like just with some sort of culturally significant. I always wanted to go and just like tour around Europe. I had a plan at one point to just do like a whole summer of backpacking through Europe, and I think that'd be great. Oh, and the other thing I might want to do is travel to somewhere untamed, like go to Africa in the middle of the savannah, or go to Alaska in the wilderness, and just like somewhere that just is pure, pristine, and not, sort of hygienic and safe and whatever. Just like go somewhere where it's just you and nature.
Where would you like to be the most?
Not in the tropics. I hate heat and humidity. But other than that, I think I love the mountains. I think I grew up sort of in the foothills, and so we would occasionally go up into the mountains when I was little. And I think that somehow, like, I just like I've come to like, really just connect them with getting away and enjoying and just like going somewhere beautiful and doing something special. So anytime I can go and just go up in the mountains, go hiking, what doesn't really matter what I'm doing, but I just feel at peace when I'm in the mountains.
What is your approach to life?
When it comes to like an opportunity or something that comes up that seems like it's fun, I tend to be pretty spontaneous. I'm fairly impulsive. I tend to say, hey, I want to make that happen, and I'm going to do it, and then sort of like work out the details on the way. If there's challenges or problems, I'm very analytical. I sort of stop. I just try to completely deconstruct the issue, and then really understand it, because I really want to get it right. I mean, I have that sort of perfectionist tendency, so it sort of depends. Like I'm very methodical when it comes to things that are problems or bother me that I feel like challenges I need to solve. But if it's an opportunity, then I just sort of jump.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
In some ways it was that time when I was trying to decide what I was doing with my life, and I had to sort of just completely change direction and take a year. And then after that, I finished college, and I really still had no idea exactly. I knew where I wanted to go, but I didn't know how to get there. And that's when I joined the Navy. And that was sort of a leap of faith, just because I didn't have any really no military background in my family at all, and so I had to sort of just say, okay, I think this is going to work out really well. But it's when you're signing away several years of your life, it's not just like, okay, well, if it doesn't work out after a while, I can just leave. there's no leaving. So I had to really think about that, and I had a couple of friends who were military, and all they wanted to do was fill my head with like terrible stories about boot camp, so that didn't help.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
I played Scrabble. I really love Scrabble. Words as friends still. But another game we didn't have a lot of board games as well. So we had Scrabble and we had Sorry, which I kind of enjoyed, except that my dad thought that he didn't like the idea of having the Sorry card where you could like do something bad to somebody else. So he took all those out of the deck. So we played Sorry, but it wasn't really Sorry. So that was the other game we played.
Who is your favorite actor?
I would say George Clooney. I think he's interesting as a person. I think he chooses good movies. I mean, he's a good actor. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, some actors are sort of one-dimensional. Like, they have one character. It's just they're the same character in every movie. It's just a different plot, but it's the same guy. So I like Clooney because he's not like that. And he's funny. I mean, he's just like, not just on screen, but, like, you know, he's apparently quite the prankster off screen. And he just, like, I mean, he gives great interviews. He always has something ridiculous to say. And he takes on some really challenging roles and does some really amazing things. I was reading something recently that he was severely injured and almost died as a result of a fight scene. It was a movie, Syriana. He was being tortured, and the guy who was, like, they were acting it out, but it was quasi-real, and the guy hit him too hard and broke part of his neck, actually. And he had, like, they said he had spinal fluid leaking out his nose. He was in the hospital for a while. So, yeah, it was, I mean, you know, he's definitely somebody who's, he's not just a pampered guy who stays in Hollywood, I guess. So.
What is your favorite dinner?
I love a lot of foods. Like, it'd be tough to pick, but I guess if I was going to pick, like, one really good dinner, I like a really good steak, I guess.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
Breakfast is usually, I try to have a really healthy breakfast, and when I was in Iraq, I actually, my back got injured, so... not badly, but I do a couple exercises just to, like, loosen it up, because if I don't, then I feel stiff throughout the day, so.
What is something you wish you can do but can't?
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, I can't think of anything, like, really specifically. I mean, there's things that I can't do, but fly or something, I don't know, but I don't have a good answer for that.
You are majoring in public policy. When did you first become interested in this field?
I've been interested in the social sciences in general ever since, I would say, my second year in college. I was a biology major, wildlife biology major, and then I realized that my real passion was people. I love animals, like, personally, but I guess I see a lot of problems in the world because of how people are, how we act towards each other and towards other things, and that's what I wanted to deal with. So, you know, I wanted to work in learning, you know, did sociology, I did political science, and I sort of wanted to work my way towards doing political type things. And so recently I decided that I was going to pick a grad program, and I wanted to do something that, I guess basically what I saw was, like, I'm good at, like, conceptual things and sort of, like, philosophical, big picture type stuff. I wanted to do something that was more hands-on and pragmatic, sort of more like the gritty details, and public policy is sort of that side of social issues and political issues, and so that's why I decided that I really wanted to focus on that. And I just may be frustrated, I don't know how many times, because it's not, you know, I chose it because it wasn't my strength, and then I get frustrated because I'm like, this is still, you know, but I'm really glad that I did it, especially now that it's almost over.
What are your plans upon graduation?
I've been looking at a lot of think tanks, and just because I think that would be something very interesting to do, working as, like, a researcher, an analyst, and possibly, I don't know, I always think that maybe, like, eventually I would be, like, going to journalism, but I've got to figure out how to get there.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing in terms of work, family, and travel?
In terms of work, I'd like to go eventually. I guess eventually I'd like to work somehow in politics, and I don't know exactly what form that would take, since I gave up a while ago on being an actual politician. I don't feel like I really have, like, there's a certain sort of schmooziness you have to be a politician, and I just don't think I could do that. So I could be, like, an advisor on some of the issues that I have experience with. Maybe I, you know, if I go to State Department, I might just work my way up there and become, you know, either a expert on a certain country, or be a topical expert who deals with a certain issue, like, on a global basis. Other than that, you know, as far as travel, like, I would love to actually travel, but where I'd actually live, I don't know, it'd be tough to say. I mean, my dream is that I'll have, I like the hustle and bustle of a city. But I also like to get away from it. So my idea is that I would have, like, a nice townhouse or something in the city, and then, like, a cabin up in the woods, like, nearby, like, not too far, so I can, like, do a drive for the weekend. I guess, you know, I see myself as being, I would like to be married and have some kids. You know, I now that I have a daughter, I think that I really see that as being a more meaningful thing than I used to when I was younger. So,
tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
I would say, like, you know, if a really nice romantic evening, I would say dinner, like, nice, you know, go to a very nice restaurant, you know, really food, good wine, and then go out for a walk, say, hopefully like nice moon and some stars. Maybe walk by, if it's a beach or like a river walk or something like that. I think there's always sort of a nice contrast there. Something like that would be like a good night, way to spend the night.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Definitely someone who's thoughtful, someone who's intelligent, someone who is open-minded and someone just like very just someone loving, someone very kind who likes to care for people, who wants to, like, regardless of the situation, just wants to make people feel good and make them happy. I think that's something I really enjoy.
What's the nicest thing you can do for your significant other?
I would say communicate to her in a way that really like resonates for her, the fact that I care. Like, do something that makes, not just something that I would do, oh, I care, so I'm gonna do this, but something that she feels like it really resonates for her, and something that helps her, I guess like just in small ways, that, and then like in big ways, like whatever it is that makes her, feel, like she's sort of like self-actualized, that she's achieving what she wants in life, like be there to support her for that.
How did you feel when you found out you were having a girl?
Well, I mean, I think that I was, I think my first thought was, oh, okay, well, I hope I have a boy. And then I would think I was a little disappointed. I mean, I was very, very happy. I was pretty happy that she was, everybody says, oh, I want to be healthy. And I think I sort of took that for granted, just because I didn't know that much about it. I just didn't realize that, that there are all the things that could happen. So I was a little uninformed, I guess, but I was slightly disappointed, and I'm not gonna lie, but like, she's so great now that I don't even care. Like, it doesn't like, she's, and it's, I mean, she's a little bit of a tomboy, but she's four, so, but she's, it doesn't matter. Like, she's just amazing. Like, it doesn't really matter that she's a boy or girl. I don't think it would matter to me at all.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I do value like helping people who need assistance, people who need help. I think that's something that matters to me. But honestly, like I wanted to change my career, and I was sort of stuck with the job that I was in and trying to go to school part time, and I just wanted to just make that transition. And I guess I've always had pretty good luck with just sort of like making, like, if I see an opportunity, I just grab it and I just jump. And so I needed to do that, and I wanted to just finish school. So jump into school, do it full time, and this has been something that allows me to sort of help make a difference in the world, and also and support myself in making that transition.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
I think that when I think of offspring or parents, I guess like the thing is like going into being a parent and not really knowing much about it, and I was always worried about doing the wrong thing. And you always, like, there's so much advice, and everybody tells you, oh, this is the way to do this, or this is the way to do that. And I guess after a while, I realized that there's no one way. Like, everybody is unique, and there's no one parenting thing that works for every child. And, you have to just tailor it to the unique child that you have. And as a person, as a child and growing up, don't think that there's only one way to be. There's, everybody's unique, and you have to find your own way and allow yourself to be unique. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Don't stereotype, or don't, obviously not others, but don't stereotype yourself. Don't put yourself in a place where you're letting yourself be defined by someone else. It's okay to be different and do exactly what works for you.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2782.